beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Thank you because you are our God. Father, we thank you because you are our God. Thank you because you are our God. Thank you because you are our God. Father, we thank you because you are our God. Can we worship the Father? Can we sing this song, Good, Good Father, from the beginning? I'm trying to remember the first line. I have a good, good father.
You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Just bless the Lord. He's a good, good Father. Hallelujah. Hope you know that we are not praising the Lord. We are not trying to keep time for people to gather. Hope you know that. Hope you understand that this is also an important part of the meeting. He's perfect in all of his ways. Oh, how great is God's wisdom. It's beyond understanding. How unsearchable are his wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name we've worshipped. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, can we move forward and have our seat? Let's move forward. Let's move forward. Let's move forward. Let's sit together. Try not to have an empty seat in front of you. Please, let's move forward. No empty seat. Empty seat. Empty seat. No empty seat. Move forward. Let's move forward. Can we greet the person next to you? Good evening. How's been our day? Good evening, Brother Dotun. Robayo, good evening. Deacon Paul, our drummer for today, good evening. Brother Taiwo, you're just coming. You're welcome.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, bro. Blessing at the back. Deacon Blessing. Good evening. It's good to have us. How many of us were not around last week? Last week Tuesday, you were not around. Last week Tuesday. Anyone? Is there anyone not around for last week Tuesday? Okay, start Kemi. Okay. All right. We started our first School of the Autosis for this year last week Tuesday. And for the power of the kingdom, you know, that's what we are looking at this year. That's what the teaching, our focus, our prayers, our thoughts, our meditations, studying, discussion is centered around the power of the kingdom this year. We want to open up that realm. We want to open up that understanding. We want to walk in that reality. So we are looking at the power of the kingdom throughout this year. So we bless the Lord for all that he has done and for what he's going to do. And then I want to appreciate the pastorate, our daddy and mommy, Pastor Shi Osunbi and Mommy Osunbi, and our elders, Pastor Bola Bello and his wife, our pastors on seat, and those that are yet to be on seat. And every one of us, I want to thank God for every one of us. Thank God. And I appreciate God upon our lives. And I pray that his grace will be abundant over our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So last week, just a summary, we looked at the power of the kingdom. And my first point that I made was that the power of the kingdom is the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the kingdom is the power of the Holy Spirit. Just to summarize a few. And then we picked example of people that walked in the power of the kingdom. And towards the tail end, we were able to pray for ourselves. We were able to minister to one another. And I believe we were imparted upon anyone with... I believe we have testimonies also for the impartation and the activation. And I pray that God will continue to expand in our lives in the name of Jesus. For today, actually my thought was I would just talk about... the guideline or how to issues that comes with the power of the kingdom. No, but during the week, this thought of signs just stuck to me. I couldn't take it off my mind. Signs. And then I was going to scripture. I discovered that signs and wonders goes hand in hand. So I felt maybe I should just, so I got a little teaching on it about signs and wonders. I did research. I have many things to share, but I'll just pick points about signs and wonders. What I want to first say is that, can we cause a good problem for our pastors? Hello, church. Can we cause a good problem for our pastors? It's a question. What do I mean by good problem? The Bible talks about Paul and Barnabas. It said, those that turn the world upside down, they have come into our midst. Can we be like Philip, who went to Samaria to preach the gospel? Then after doing that, he had to call the apostles to come and lay their hands upon those that have believed. Can we create a good problem in every area of our influence? Can we establish, what I mean by a good problem? I mean, standing in God's will, in God's place, in every area of our influence that God has given to us. That's what I mean by creating a good problem. Imagine someone just find yourself probably in your street, you are ministering to somebody and the person began to manifest and you couldn't deal with it and you have to call pastor. That's a good problem. Anyway, that you know that and I will tell you to deal with it. But imagine that is pastoring someone like what's the name of this evangelist? Evangelist Leonard Bonke. Is it bad? Is something good now? So that's my question for us. That can we create a good problem where they can come in and exert their authority also? So today my teaching is centered around signs and wonders. Signs and what? Wonders. Can you tell it to your neighbor? Signs and what? Wonders. Just a brief definition. I got this definition from
Merriam Webster.
A sign is something indicating the presence or existence of something else. It could also be something material or external that stands for something spiritual. Signs could be literal or figurative. Under definition, signs are miraculous events that is given especially to confirm, corroborate, or authenticate the workings or doings of God in the earth. Signs are miraculous events that is given especially to confirm, to corroborate, or authenticate the workings or doings of God in the earth. Yeah, if you go to scriptures, we have other words for signs. We have omen. We have miracles. We have tokens. We have ensign. There are other words that are used in scriptures for signs. Then what about wonders? Wonders are something awesomely mysterious or new to one's experience, which causes astonishment or admiration. I try to rephrase the definition by saying, wonders are events or occurrences that put one in a state of wonder. So, try to get your own meaning. But for me, wonders are events or occurrences that put one in a state of what? Wonder. It puts you in a state of amazement. It puts you in a state of astonishment. It puts you, you become astonished. You become amazed. It puts you in a state where you are, you're marveled. So we're looking at signs and wonders. You know, I was just going through these word signs. I noticed when I was going through the concordance or something, they were using these words often, prodigy. They use portent. They use omen also. And I had to look at the meaning of prodigy. Prodigy means an extraordinary, miraculous, or unusual accomplishment, deeds or event. An extraordinary, marvelous, or unusual accomplishment of deeds or what? Or event. I look at portent. Portent means something that foreshadows a coming event. It foreshadows a coming event. All these things are all under wonders. Then omen. An occurrence or phenomenon believed to portend a future event. It foreshadows a future event. That's just the little definition I was able to gather around signs and wonders. Then I now combine them that signs and wonders are occurrences that elicit a reaction from onlookers. They are extraordinary or supernatural events that affect all that is witnessing it. They are extraordinary or supernatural events that affect all that is witnessing it. Let me come out of my book. I just read all that to us as a brief introduction to signs and wonders. You know, if you read throughout the scripture, in fact, from Genesis 1, when God created the light, if you can remember, he created the great light and lesser light, and I said they should be for what? For signs. And what? And season. There are other, in fact, Jesus told the people around him that you could look at the face of the sky and then you could say, this is what should happen or this is what is going to happen next. But you could not read the signs of what is going on in your presence. So, the signs and wonders I'm talking about are the workings of God, the doings of God upon the face of the earth, as seen in scriptures, as demonstrated by God, either by God or through his servants. So, the scripture contains diverse signs and wonders that was performed either by God or through his vessels. Like if you go through the Old Testament. In fact, my first example of this was Moses. When God met with Moses, you know, he saw a bush that was burning, yet fire on the bush, and yet the bush was not burning. And the Lord called his attention. And the Lord told him that he has heard the cry of the people, and like that, like that, like that. And God gave him signs that he must do to first convince the people he's sending him to, and then the one that he will do to the, should we say the oppressor? You know, so God used signs and wonders to show how powerful he is in ancient times and now. So God's signs and wonders is not just in the old days. It's also occurring now. Now. Let's look at Isaiah 7:14. God spoke through signs and wonders to his people. Look at Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. The Lord was talking through Isaiah. He told a king to ask him for a sign. And the king said, I think he said he was not going to ask for a sign. And he said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Since you refuse to ask for a sign, the Lord will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall what? Shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That king did not live to see this sign, though. But that was a sign that the Lord said. He said he should behold. Then if you look at Judges, when the Lord encountered Gideon, I was like, give me a sign to show that you are the one that is talking to me. He told that angel, give me a sign. You see that in Judges 6:17. Give me a sign. Give me a sign. Judges, look at it. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. You know, and the Lord gave him the sign. Then he even went ahead to ask for a fleece, if you can remember. And when I was going through scripture, I realized that Hezekiah did the same thing when he was sick. If you look at 2 Kings 28, you know, Isaiah prophesied to him that he's not going to die. Look at it. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day. And he asked for a sign. And Isaiah prayed and the sign came to pass. So that's why you can now see why Paul said that the Jews seek for a sign. Or the Jews seek for signs. Why Gentiles run after what? Wisdom. And you can now understand why the Jews always tell Jesus, show us a sign so that we can believe you. Show us a sign. Show us a sign that you are sent from God. So that we can... And then somewhere Jesus also said that without signs and wonders, that should be John 4:48, if I'm correct. Jesus said so. Without signs and wonders, they will know what? They will not believe. Are we together? Hallelujah. So, I just use that example to show us that God speaks through signs. He speaks through what? Through signs. Especially in the Old Testament. For example, Eli. After Samuel, you know, the Lord told Samuel concerning Eli. After that event, the Lord now sent a man of God to Eli. And then you will see that in 1 Samuel 2:34. And after the man of God had declared God's counsel to Eli, and the man of God said something. Sorry, are you there? 1 Samuel 2:34. Look at what he said. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Ophni and Phinehas, in one day. They shall die, both of them. Their death was a sign that what God has determined was going to come to pass. So God used signs, especially in the Old Testament, especially in the days of our patriarchs, those who walked with God. The Lord used signs to speak to them. Then I also observe in Luke 2:12, the shepherds. You know, we used to sing that song, why shepherds watch their flocks by night, you know, things like that. You see that in Luke 2:12. The angel told them something in Luke 2:12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe. The babe who is to be the king of the whole earth. The babe who is to deliver Israel. He said you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So that was like a help being offered to the shepherds for them to be able to recognize the baby. So from this little example that I've been able to just show us, we can see that God speaks through signs and wonders. And don't forget, signs, like I've defined for us, something indicating the presence or existence of something else. It indicates, it shows, it proves the presence of something else. For an example, when we see the cloud, you know, being what? When we see the cloud gathering, what do we say? It's about to rain. We don't wait for the rain again. Everybody starts, you know, start leaving the environment, looking for shelter, get inside your house. You could remember when Elijah was praying for rain. If you can remember, he did that 7 times. He told the servant to go and check. And on the 7th time, what happened? He said he saw a hand. That was enough sign for Elijah. And he stopped the prayers and said, go and tell King Ahab, it's time we should move. Now, then I now got some examples of God's signs and wonders, especially to Israel and to Egypt. Let's look at Exodus 4. Exodus 4, 8 to 9. Exodus 4, 8 to 9. Are you there? And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, if the word that I've told you is not enough, like, I am that I am, I'm the God of thy fathers, you know, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of what? Jacob. If that word is not enough for them, well, if I was to be among them too, that word may not be enough, because we have been under captivity for 400 years. And Moses was sent out, will now come and tell me the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is coming to deliver us. If those words are not enough, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, look at it, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will not believe the voice of the latter sign. God gave him 2 signs. The first one was his rod, if you can remember, was turned to serpent. The second one was, he told him to put his hand, is it by his thigh? By his side, and he brought it out, and, sir? His bosom, and then, okay, and then he brought it, took it back in again, and it became normal. He said, if these 2 signs did not convince them, he now told him to do another one. I think that should be in verse 10. Okay, 8 and 9. Okay. And it will come to pass, if they will not believe thee also, the 2 signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And remember this scripture that says, in the mouth of 3 witnesses, the word is what? Established. So that should be enough for them. You know, interestingly, in verse 17, please go to verse 17. Verse 17. Look at verse 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. So there was an instrument in Moses' hands that he's going to use to do what? To do signs. Let's move to the same place, 28 to 30. Look at what happened in 28 to 30. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. Next one, 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Yes. And Aaron, look at what happened here. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs. Aaron did the sign. Now, it's not Moses that now did the sign. Aaron did the signs in the sight of the people. Yes? I think that's all. Sorry. Yes. So when I saw that, wow, I was surprised. It wasn't... Now, this time, Moses showed Aaron the signs. Then Aaron and Moses, they gathered the people. Aaron told the people what God told Moses, and they did the signs. Wow, that got my attention. Then finally, in Exodus 10, 1 to 2. Exodus 10, 1 to 2. Look at what God said there through Moses. Look at it. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, not just his heart, and the heart of his servants, that I might show this my signs before them. So God adding the heart of Pharaoh and his servants to show his signs. Then, verse 2, and thou mayest tell in the ears of thy sons. So two things were happening. Two things are going to happen. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may what? Know. So the reason for this sign is that they may what? Know. That I am what? I am the Lord. So you can now see why Israel, why they are so attached to what? To signs. You know, Jesus fed a particular set of people and they came to Jesus the next day. Jesus told them that you have not come for the word. You have come for, you know, the bread. And they're like, we Moses fed our fathers for what? For 40 years. Ah, wow. That's a challenge. Imagine you are Jesus then. Probably I will have vexed. What's that supposed to mean? So I should now, okay, let's do another round. So they were coming for more bread. They were coming for more bread. So we can say that those signs was to show that what? The Lord is what? Is God. So this sign, as it was a sign to Israelites, in the sense of God is the one that is bringing them out of captivity to the promised land. It is also a sign towards Pharaoh and all Egypt. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't something secret. Look at the prophet. When I was reading through this, I was shocked. In Isaiah 22 to 4, you know, when we claim that we are for signs and for what? For wonders. I discovered something. Look at it. Isaiah 22 to 4. And at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking what? Naked. And what? This is a sign, though. Prophet Isaiah was walking. Look at it. And Lord said, like, as my servant Isaiah had walked naked and barefoot for how many years? 3 years. So imagine. I can't imagine this sign and wonder. He said, for a sign and wonder. Okay, daddy said, maybe you wore boxers. I don't know. But he said naked. Upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia. Let's move forward. Let's see another sign of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 3. Look at Ezekiel 3. Look at Ezekiel 3. Sorry, Ezekiel 4 3. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 4 3. Ezekiel. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. There was one that shocked me the most was, the Lord told Ezekiel that your wife is going to die. And Ezekiel did not intercede. Look at it, look at it. I'm jumping, there is one in 12, 1 to 11. Let's go to 24 from verse 15. 24 verse 15. I was shocked of this type of sign and wonder. Also, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, yes, we have to be fast. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down, yes, forbear to cry. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thy head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning and at even. What happened? My wife died. And I did in the morning as I was what? Commanded. Then what is 19? What did 19 say? He says that, and the people said unto me, wilt thou not tell us what this has to us? What's the meaning of this sign? That thou doest so. And if you read downwards, it went ahead to unfold to them the meaning of the sign. How God was going to deal with them, and that they are going to know that it is God that is going to scatter them all around Israel. No, sorry, all around the earth. If you read it downward, it's very long. Or maybe we should just pick, can you pick verse 20 or so? Okay, you are there. Then I answered, okay, maybe 25, sorry. Speak unto the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes. Remember the verse 15. And that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left shall fall by this word, yes. And ye shall do as I have done. Ye shall not cover your lips. And like that, like that. You know, for his wife to die, you know it must come, it must happen. Are we together? That was a sign that his wife had to die. You know, if you go through the prophetic book, you will see some that God told a particular prophet to cook his food with dung. I think it was also Isaiah that the Lord told him to sleep one side. Then he will turn again. It was Ezekiel. So you could see different signs through which the Lord speaks through the what? Through the prophets. Then what about Nebuchadnezzar? In Daniel 4:1-3. Nebuchadnezzar. Look at it. Nebuchadnezzar bear witness to God's sign and wonder. Look at it. Daniel, look at it. You can move to verse 2 for time. I thought it good to shield the signs and what? Wonders that the high God had wrought towards what? Towards me. This is to let us know that God's signs and wonders was not just attached to Israel alone. God shifted his base even to the heathen. He did it to Nebuchadnezzar. Same with Darius. If you check Daniel chapter 6, you will see that they wrote almost the same thing, telling the whole earth to serve God. Why? Because God showed his what? His signs and his what? And his wonders. God showed his what? His signs. If you look at that Daniel 6:25. Look at Daniel 6:25. Are you there? Yes, 25. Then King Darius wrote unto whom? All people. Same with Nebuchadnezzar. All nations and what? Languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. Yes. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he's what? The living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and what? Rescueth. And he worketh what? Signs and wonders. Where? In heaven and where? In earth. So you could see Darius testifying to God's signs and what? And wonders. And you could see Nebuchadnezzar also testifying to what? God's signs and what? And wonders. Then what about Jesus? Many to talk about. He turned water to wine. In fact, the Bible says these are the beginning of signs that Jesus began to do in what? In Israel. You see that in John 2:11. Even at the end, when John was to wrap up his letter, in John 20:30, he said they wrote a summary. What was written is just a summary of the miracles, the signs that Jesus did. They couldn't, he said, if they were to record everything, Abi, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not what? Written in this book. He did many. Then the apostles. Where I'm actually going to, okay, let's look at the apostles, then we'll connect it to our days. I will just pick two in the apostles. In Acts 2:43, when the Holy Ghost came down, if you can remember, Acts 2:43, look at it. Oh, you're not there yet. Acts 2:43. Look at it. And fear came upon every soul, and many what? Wonders and signs were done by who? By the apostles. And then, you can remember the experience of Stephen, who was full of faith and of power, who wrought what? Signs and wonders. If you go to Hebrews 2 verse 4, if you can remember what Paul said there, that God bear witness to their words. God bear witness to their words with what? With signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Okay, we are there. Look at it. God bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gift of the Holy Ghost. So you see, God did signs and wonders. His vessels also what? Did signs and wonders. While going through this, I saw something interesting. In 2 Corinthians 12:12. In 2 Corinthians 12:12. I don't want to jump that, please. It said, truly the signs of an apostle are like, wow. So, even the fivefold ministries, they have their what? They have their signs. So, if you're an evangelist, we should see the sign. If you're a pastor, if you're a teacher, you're a prophet. In fact, Paul has even said about an apostle. The signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Look at the next statement in 13. Look at what he said. Look at the next statement. For what is it wherein you are inferior to other churches? So the way I release my grace, express God's grace over other churches, is the same thing. He said, for what is it wherein we are inferior to other churches? Except that I was not burdensome to you people. So in your midst, probably when church was in Ephesus, the way it flowed with God's grace, it signs like the Thessalonians. He said they are not inferior. They saw God's wonder through Apostle Paul, which is now connected to where I'm going to in Mark 16. Jesus said, this sign shall follow them that believe. So that's where I'm actually going to. This sign. So Jesus did not relegate everything to the ancient times, to the times of the prophets, to the times of, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar and others, even to his own time. He did not say it's going to end there. He now said, go and preach. If we start from verse 15, the instruction is go into all the world. Go to the world. Please, can we go to 15? We should even be able to quote it. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Yes. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Shall be damned. He now said, and this sign shall follow them that what? That believe. Those that are to be saved, that will be saved. And I said, these particular signs, we follow them. In my name, he mentioned the sign. So, are we believers? Yes. So, these signs should what? Should follow us. Moreover, he did not say we should seek them. Anyway, we have our pastors. They will teach us in the guideline. Don't worry. But they should follow us. We should what? In my name, cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. That one is common among us. Right? Speak with new tongues. Take up serpents. Shall not hurt us. What next? Are you there? Lay hands on the sick. How often do we do that? Can we compare how often we pray in tongues and how often we do all these ones? Can we put them on a scale? It's like we appreciate one sign to the other than the other. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:22. Paul said something in 1 Corinthians 14:22. Don't mind me, I'm opening many scriptures, I'm sorry. It was like a research. So. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that... Please, can we use Amplified? Please. Thank you. Those unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign. Not for believers, but for unbelievers, on the point of believing. While prophecy... Inspired preaching and teaching, interpreting the divine will and purpose is not for unbelievers on the point of believing, but for what? For believers. What's Paul trying to say there? Prophecy should be normal. Please, we are not saying tongue. I'm not saying tongue is... We are talking about a teaching where Paul was teaching the believers about tongues and what? And prophecy. He was trying to let them know. At the end of the tail end, he told them they should know what? Relegate speaking in tongues. He encouraged them to what? To prophesy. It's a sign. It is a sign. Manifestation of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts. It's a sign. It's a sign amidst us. It should be normal. We are not just to speak in tongues alone. We are to even interpret. Paul even said it. Let him that speak in tongues pray that what? He may interpret. If you can interpret tongues, it's also a sign that should follow you. If you can pray for the sick. Let's move forward because of time. So where I'm going to is actually God's expectation for us as his church, as his representative, as his sons, as his ambassadors, as his servants. His expectation for us is that we should walk in this reality. That's why I said I'm actually going towards what? Mark 16. Which is, this sign shall follow them that believe. You that you are going to preach, you are coming with that sign. Those that believe, the sign we also what? Follow them. It's not like you will preach. The sign is only with you. And then those that believe, nothing is happening with them. Hope you are following what I'm saying. Are we together? Isaiah 8:18. It's a common, we usually quote it now. The children that the Lord has given to me, or I and the children that the Lord has given unto me, they are what? They are for what? So that means it's normal for us to expect children to walk in what? Signs and what? And wonders. There are four signs. Look at it now. For signs and wonders in Israel. There are four signs and wonders in the church. There are four signs and wonders in the earth. Isaiah did not say, not me alone. Me and my children. There are four signs and wonders. So you can see God's expectation. That every children he gives to us, spiritual children, natural children, they should be for what? For signs and for what? And for wonders. Now please, I want to pick key points. In Mark 16, 15 to 16. The first one there I picked is believe. Jesus did not say this sign will follow them that do not believe. He was specific. And he did not say this sign is meant for just my servants. Or it's meant for those that will go and preach. In fact, he attached it to those that believe. Those that believe your message. Those that believe that I'm the savior of the world. Those that believe that I'm the savior. This sign will follow them. After you have delivered your message. And that point is they will cast out devils. It did not even specify. It did not even say cast out devils from the human body. He said they will cast out what? Devils. There are some demonic activity that occurs in our environment. He said we shall do what? We should cast them out. I remember when I was in school, 200 level. I was told that then our transformer usually blew. As in, following week, NEPA will come and work on it. Then it's off again. Then they told us that there are witches having meeting on our transformer. I was like, So there are no places to do meeting. I did not believe. As I prayed, and then I was attacked by that simple, by this simple prayer I prayed. These people are serious. So when after I prayed, the following week, they fixed the transformer and it began working well. I'm like, this thing is interesting. We have to cast them out. We have to cast them out. And they know that they will leave. You know, my wife had an experience, was it last 2 months? And wow, I did not tell Asha, anyway. Of one guy in our area, she ordered someone to bring pure water, and this Yahoo guy was coming. You know, Yahoo was bad and everything. So they started the argument, and my wife said something. He said, she is going to spoil his charm if he doesn't leave yet. That's how the guy enters his ride and walk away. And I'm like, wow. If I was the one, what would even be my own argument? I don't know. And the man now came the following week and I was like, wow, he can't forget what my wife did that day. I cannot forget it. We have them all around us. We can shut down every oppression of darkness and the enemy in our area. We have the authority. We have authority to cast out devils, whether oppression, possession, or territorial. Are we together? I remember, was it something that... Okay, let me not share that. Let's continue. Let's continue because of time. We have to cast out devils. We have to speak with new tongues now. It's common. I don't have to be saying that now, Abby. It's common. Even now, it's being mocked. It's being mocked. And we are okay with it. I remember this person, Maya Edward Etta, who said some people were mocking the grace of God upon her, and she made a decree and something happened to them. We allow people to make jest of things that should be hallowed. Because we are not declaring God's judgment. Like I said last week, we have the authority to make some decree, but please don't kill. That's not the nature of the spirit. Don't kill. A lecturer is asking you, if you don't sleep with me, just make a decree. Maybe you will not be going to the toilet. Or whatever that you want, that thing, that maybe it will just go off. You'll just notice he can't use what he's supposed to be using. We can make those decree, but when we forget, when we get... puts ourselves in a position of timidity. Nothing happens. And then looks as if we have a weak God. No, we are the ones that became weak. We are the ones. We are the ones that became weak. We can take up serpent. And Jesus says, you cannot be hurt. You cannot be hurt. That's another point. And he said, we shall lay hands on what? On the sick. I'm picking this key point for us to begin to find these things in our heart, to begin to raise them up. If you say, let's start praying now, before you know it, within some seconds, you're already speaking in tongues. We must be in that default position. When we see someone sick in our environment, to pray for the person. You know, was it last month? We're having a discussion, and then we're looking at working of miracles, and we notice Jesus usually goes to them. They won't come to you. Jesus will what? The man beside the well, that's the angel, we have to come down. Jesus went to him. We have to go out. They're out there, sick people, oppressed people, demonic possessed people. They are looking for freedom. Some of them are even afraid of coming to the church. Some of them even come to the church and they go back the same way. Something is wrong. Let's move forward. Because of time. Look at Luke 10:19. It's also a common scripture. Luke 10:19. I'll pick the point there while it is being displayed. Power to tread on serpents and what? And scorpion. Yahweh has become a principality in our nation. In a day, people will have to mention that word. And they are living in streets where we have churches. Please don't look at churches. Me. They are living in streets where we have believers. Because now we can look at churches. You are there. And you cannot say that spirit operating in that place. Come on, Shemo. They will just be telling others, don't go and live in that environment too, because it won't work. There is something there that is not making it work. So we will tread upon them. Over all the power of the enemy. Not some power of the enemy. It's being displayed. Over all, not few. So we must test for God's fullness. And nothing shall hurt you. Nothing. That this thing is true. By the way, it has to be recorded in our spirit that we cannot be hurt. We must hunger and thirst for God's fullness. That's actually where I'm going to. We have spoken in tongues. Move to interpretation. Move to prophecy. Move to laying on of hands. Move. That's where I'm going to. They are our signs. Paul said we should desire spiritual gifts. You know, I kept reading Kenneth Hagin book, and he kept saying there is a move of God that is coming. In fact, he said there is a move of God in their days that the church don't even know about. And I'm wondering. And then when I go to YouTube, you just see people gather, they're listening to a pastor. I'm like, where is that move? He spoke of dancing in the spirit. He spoke of laughing in the spirit. He spoke of the glory cloud, where there are meetings and the Holy Ghost will just come. And he said one thing, that the problem is reverence. The problem is what? Reverence. Even with that we carry the Holy Ghost gone, we don't even reverence the Holy Ghost. I noticed something that is raining now. When praise and worshiping is going on, people take up their phone and they begin to dance. And then you will now send it to your status again. Like, interesting. You know, we are moving. We are moving from pressing phone. We are moving from pressing phone in the church. Then we move. Imagine you go to a shrine. And the babalawo is doing his incantation. I now take a selfie. Our fear of God is diminishing every day. Even after, there are times when I'm in that projector without laptop and I want to go to internet, I have to tell myself, no, you can't check internet, you can't check Gmail. We must fight these things. We must talk about it. We must not be afraid to tell believers that come into our midst, don't press your phone. I remember Apostle Ome, there was a meeting I was doing, and he said, he doesn't want to hear the sound of phone. And he tapped on and he said, if I hear that sound again, I will release something that you'll be fighting for years. Who will hear that kind of word and will not fear? Go and check his message. You will see, he always say, put off your phone. We must learn to reverence God. You must learn to fear God. You know, during that last week, I just began to stumble on Shambach, on people on Novelis. You know, the Lord told Novae something. He said, he has given him the grace to cast out devils, that he must not stop casting it out. He said, because many of his ministers, when they get higher, you know, when they now become rich, they stop casting out devils. He said, they stop. Please, we cannot relegate all of these signs. They are for us. Why should we teach without the manifestation of the Holy Ghost? Why should it be okay to be in a place where the word of the Lord is being released, and we are not seeing our signs? Israel, Isaiah 78, if I'm sure. He said, we do not see our signs. And they were just dead. They were looking for their signs. Where are our signs? Can we ask ourselves? We only have tongues. Interpretation gone. We have to pray. You will dream. No interpretation. Abi, are you in that shoe? So let me just quickly round, because my time is up. I'm sorry. If you want to see my notes, you can come and collect it after our meeting. No problem. Let's not be afraid. We have our pastors to guide us. You're having experiences with deja vu. You don't understand. They are here. They will guide you. Don't be afraid of walking into error. As long as you are submissive, just come and tell them, this is what happened last night. Oh, I was sleeping and I was awake. What's happening to me? Have you had that kind of, you are sleeping and you are awake. We have our pastors to guide us. Let's stop settling for less. Let's stop what? Settling for less. Let's stop settling for less. Let's stop settling for less. The raising of the dead must happen in our midst. The raising of dead, the move of the spirit must happen in our midst. The glory cloud, when those ministers in, when after Solomon dedicated his temple, the priest, you know, the minister and the glory came down and the ministers could not minister. Ah, wow. Imagine one day daddy is preaching and daddy cannot minister. Like Maria Woodward Etta, who would just stand and enter trances for days. And even, there was a time she was praying and that thing caught my attention. She was praying and said, God, God's power should be demonstrated in the church and in the town. There was a particular town that the police said they could not arrest anybody. Everybody were fine. What's our problem in this nation? We need power. Everybody will be fine. Everybody will be fine. If we see the what? The power. But we are not fine now. We are not fine. We're only wearing shirt and everything. We have all kind of problem following us up and down. We are not fine. We have to come to that point and seek for God's fullness. Daddy, please, just a little time. I want us to pray for these people. You have walked in a particular grace before and then it's gone. You don't know what happened to it. I remember when I was in school, there were graces. There were graces. Please, just stand up. We'll pray for you. There was a particular grace you walked in and it's no more there. Maybe it's shut down due to your environment. It's shut down due to you had nobody to encourage you. Okay, stash your hand. Please. Okay, I don't want to say how pastors will pray and then last week. So, I don't know. Can you just come out? And then let the house pray for you. A particular grace. Or you sense God's call over your life. You sense God's call over your life. Please, when you say sense God's call, it has nothing to, it's not only attached to ministry. God can call you to help. God can call you to working of miracles. Please, I'm specific. Oh, there was a grace happening in your life, then it shut down. That's why you're outside, though. It's not for healing, no. Can we just close our eyes? Father, we thank you for these people. Father, we thank you for these people. Lord, we thank you for these people. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for them. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299. Or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.